Hello friends, before we get started on this next amazing episode, I just wanted to give a short shout out to our team at Metalcloak, the group that makes this podcast possible. From engineering to production, from marketing to sales, from accounting to HR, every member of the Metalcloak family works diligently every day to bring some of the world's best products to the off-road enthusiast. Designed, engineered, proven, Metalcloak. That is not just a clever cadence written by me, but a true statement of what we do every day and why we truly appreciate each and every one of you. If you are looking for something for your Jeep, Ram, Bronco, or Toyota, give us a try. We are here to help. And now, on to another amazing episode of the Modern Jeeper Show.
Poor guy needs a rear axle, and he's like, oh, yeah, I got to wait to see if I get a bonus this year at work, and maybe that'll pay for the rear axle so I can get the car that much closer to being finished. But it's we can't get away from that stuff, right?
No,
We are horsepower junkies.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Ricky's SRT, his Grand Cherokee, that thing is – it's nasty too. Like, we're going to go to dinner, and if we happen to get in a race on the way there, that's just the way it works out.
And a lot of people wanted a race. That thing's nasty.
It's weird in Florida. Like, there's a lot of that. I'm thinking, how that doesn't happen all the time. We're going to dinner, and literally the car next to us is doing this whole, and then pretty soon it's on, and we're, you know, like, wow.
We know.
Oh, yeah. Man.
The Modern Jeeper Show, the show about Jeeps, Jeeping, and Jeepers.
Well, hey, Modern Jeepers, another episode of the Modern Jeeper Show with me, Mattson from Metalcloak, and Mr. Modern Jeeper, Corey Osborne.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Rockstar Jeep Girl, Jesse.
What's going on?
I don't know, man. Where the hell have you guys been? I mean, literally, I told everybody I have no idea where you guys are. You're someplace in the world, and I don't know where it was.
We're not sure where we've been. I have to go back and actually look at notes and our calendar and stuff to actually figure out where we've been. I know our listeners and our followers last week were like, hey, what happened? We had a few people reach out, and literally, your schedule, our schedule, the last few weeks, we've just been... It has been busy. Yeah, we've been running. We're still in the season, even though it's fall. I can't believe it's the middle. We looked at the calendar and was like, wait a minute, it's the middle of October? How did that happen?
I don't know where September went either.
Yeah.
I'm walking around a neighborhood, and because we had to do some fundraising for the John Adams Academy yesterday, and it's like, all the houses are all decorated with the pumpkins. It's Halloween's 12, 13 days away. Kiddos are getting ready to get overstuffed in candy, and they're already asking about Christmas.
Like, you know, that's what's funny is we go into stores and some have a little bit of Halloween stuff out. Like, what happened to Thanksgiving? We just skip Thanksgiving now, and we just go straight into it's time to buy a Christmas tree.
That's by insidious plan. Remember, happened under the Obama administration. They didn't want you to celebrate Thanksgiving. They wanted you to move on from Halloween, the scary time, to Christmas when they spend lots of money.
Yeah, it's all about it's all about the dollar, no doubt about that.
Conspiracy hat taken off.
Well, let's see. The last episode, we were still talking about Off-Road Expo and the Rock Sport Blacks. And that was like 3 weeks ago. So
seems like yesterday.
Like a year ago.
Yeah, that seems like so long ago.
What day is
so that? Much has happened. So many things have gone on. The Rocksport Black are doing great. They're going to be on sale soon. We made little adjustments based on people's feedback, including a color change on the shaft. I'll leave it at that. We did all kinds of stuff. I mean, all kinds of great things coming with the Rocksport Black. The ball joints have been selling. JK goes on sale this week, I think.
Cool. So, question about that is we had a couple of folks that were curious that maybe there was something going on, another delay with the ball joints, but they are going out.
Yeah. Ball joints are shipping every day.
Cool.
So, yeah, the current iteration for the JL is shipping, JT is shipping every day. There is the JK just hasn't gone live because we had the final component parts that we had for made for the JL, and then we have to finish the component parts for the JK, and then we're going to do ball joints for the TJ, which is, you know, that's actually takes. I believe the lower is the same, upper just has to be designed. So there's all these little great things. So the ball joints are shipping daily.
Cool.
People are loving them so far. And we are now going to be moving forward now that we've kind of got production going fully on the program that we talked about for those who currently purchase the ball joints and have the ball joints, sending out replacements, and primarily so that they have something that's rebuildable in the future. Because if you have an original version, unfortunately, it's just not going to be rebuildable because we're not going to make rebuildable parts for the original version. So
right.
It's better to just replace them all. And then we can start over and be like, oh, here's our cool new ball joints.
Well, so Brad, if you're listening, reach out to us, reach out to me, Jesse, or Mattson. I'll contact you later. But yeah, good to know. I know that there's been lots of questions. You know, we've been so since the last podcast, we were then still in Texas, headed to Dallas Off-Road. And then we stopped in, we had Hot Springs. We had Jeremy Rose family event at Hot Springs in Arkansas. Man, a great couple of days at Hot Springs. Yeah. And then back to Colorado to switch Jeeps, reload the truck, get some service work done, do some more light work on the trailer. Hopefully now we should be. Hopefully we get through the end of the year now. Shouldn't be any more lighting issues. And then we took off and we headed back towards the East Coast. And about 3 days to get back into Florida, and just finished an event in Ocala, Florida, the Ocala Jeeptoberfest. New venue. This was an event that was a huge, huge show back in the day.
Back in the day, yeah, before Jeep Beach. It was like it was the big thing before, and then it kind of transitioned to Jeep Beach. And then so how is it these days? Is it still a fun event?
So they changed venues and people kind of, you know, it's like we talk about all the time, all these events go through these evolutions. And I gotta tell you, from my personal and Jesse can give her perspective, but I thought the event was fabulous. Was there 5,000 people there? No. Was there probably 2,000? I would say that's a pretty good number. And we were one of the only main vendors there. I mean, it was pretty cool. We were set up with Mike from Z Automotive. So we had our Taser booth next to us. We had Ricky and Jeepers Den and his wife, Alicia, set up next to them. And then we had the guys from Stinger on the other side of Ricky. So it was awesome. We could actually have conversations, send folks over to those guys to take care of any orders they wanted to place, any questions they had about getting parts directly. Like, and it was that event was, I felt like it's going to grow, obviously. They had three obstacle courses that were pretty extreme.
Wow.
Like, yeah, there was some mud pits. There was some pretty gnarly stuff, and
stay away from the mud.
Gnarly for sure.
Yeah, we could have put up a little bit of a couple of videos in social media land, but we'll probably end up doing a little report. Maybe we'll throw it up on Modern Jeeper or something. I think the event is going to be huge next year. The property itself is 600 acres. It's horse property, but they have a lot of other events there. It's amazing. I mean, lots of covered places for vendors. We were outside, but the weather was actually pretty pleasant. Nice. Yeah, it was okay. We didn't die. I got to see a couple guys, the guys from Spiderweb Shade, hey, Chris and Harvey. Like, I haven't seen those guys for so long. And that event it really is about the people. And the Ocala Jeep Club is doing such an amazing job making it family friendly. It's personable. It's like it used to be. It's fun to go to, and it's not this high pressure stress of we got 2 days, we got to cover, you know, 1,000 vendors, and how is anybody going to do that? And people were actually able to have conversations and have there were people out there camping on the property. You can stay out there. Yeah, it was.
People were nice, very pleasant. I think we helped quite a bit on the trailer. They had good questions, some other mishaps, that were going on with other suspensions, which then turned sales over to Ricky. So it worked out really well. We helped a lot of people. So
yeah, Ricky came over and he was like, you know, this is great. Customers are coming over here and they're ordering stuff. And I'm like, hey, that's how this should work. Yeah,
that's okay. Ricky, what we'll do is we'll send you a CTI trailer. You can then travel with and right. just use it as your own marketing piece.
That's right. That's right.
Send him the old one. Well, hey, you know, that's great. Yeah, but the tens of thousands of listeners we have are now going to like want to go to Jeetoberfest. So
yeah,
Jeetoberfest. It's over now. Yeah, we just flooded them. We just flooded them with 10,000 registrations next year.
Yeah, there you go. I like it. There was
if only we had that many listeners. It's kind
of funny. All of a sudden, in this week, next week, there's a lot of other events going on. I mean, mm-hmm. Trail Hero was kind of in the middle of us. Getting back home and then heading out. And I know a lot of people went there. There's something else going on now, and I can't think of what it is off the top of my head. But I don't know. I mean, getting to hang out, I got to tell you, we'll have Mike from Z Automotive on mm-hmm. the podcast for sure. What a fun guy to get to hang out with him. You know, the last couple of days, one of the things I realized is that, again, we're very fortunate. There's a lot of extremely hardworking, extremely smart people out there in this industry. And as we expand our circles and we meet more people, that's why we enjoy doing what we do and going to these events. When it's the same thing, and when it's Groundhog Day and we're doing the exact same thing, that's pretty rough. It'd be rough on anybody. But to go and hang out and have conversations with people that are out of that little circle for now, and then they become part of that Jeeper family that we all love. Man, there's some real talented, some real hardworking guys out there. I mean, and again, even for Ricky, you know, yesterday we spent at his house replacing the windshield in Funshine. The fact that we were able to do that on the fly, like he can make a phone call and that stuff just gets taken care of and he makes it happen. That's pretty rare. Nobody really wants to work that hard anymore. And he's one of those guys that is still, man, he's hitting the ground every day. So.
Mm. Yeah. I don't want to work that hard.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a great, one of the podcasts listed has a sign. Guys, sign says, do the work. Do the work, big sign behind, do the work, right? I'm also just finished. I'm part of a leadership group at my kid's school. And one of the things I've been doing is reading. We read books that the kids might be reading. And I just read, of all books, Little House in the Big Woods, which is the first book of Little House in the Prairie series. And it's kind of, that's kind of cool. You know, it's a Little House in the Prairie. We saw the TV show. It was forever, you know, and it's Laura Ingalls and all that. But if you read a book like that, you get to realization that life is pretty effing easy right now, right? Because there's a thing where every day you had to do the work. Every day you had to do the work. If you wanted to have food for the winter, you had to do the work to prepare the food for the winter. If you wanted to have clothes, you had to do the work to have clothes. If you wanted to take care of your animals, your family, whatever, you had to do the work. Things just didn't happen. And we're too much in a society now where things just happen. It's so easy. It's easy.
Right.
Yeah, you have to do the work. But, you know, if you get out there, guys, and just do the work and be willing to do the hard work, great things come to you.
It's amazing. Go ahead. I think that you're hitting on a lot of really more talking points of how we got here is really interesting, because you wouldn't, I mean, all of these things that have been created in the last 10 to 20 years, wouldn't have happened if people weren't out there doing the work. And I feel like we're maybe on this other sliding thing of, okay, well, the work's done, so now I'm going to sit back and I'm going to reap the rewards. Mm-hmm. And that's just not how this works. We don't stop. We shouldn't stop. I mean, that's what drives us. How many relatives have everybody had where, you know, once somebody in their family, I'm sure everybody knows this one person that retired, and they were like, man, this is going to be great. I'm going to do all the things that I was wanting to do my whole life. But once they retired, they kind of checked out a little bit, and my grandfather was a very hardworking man, but not having something to do every day was the death of him. And mm-hmm. when you stop because, yeah, I don't have to go to work anymore, it's kind of a weird thing. So
right.
I don't know.
You've just got to keep doing it. You got to do what you're interested in. Do what you're passionate about at the same time. Do things that benefit other people too, right? I mean, I think part of the joy of what you guys get to do is you're not just out there doing it or hawking some products. You're actually every day, you're actually helping people.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And that makes a big difference because people are thankful and you're interacting with people. If your job was just, hey, we want you to travel the country and man a booth and sell product, you know, it'd probably be pretty easy with a medical product line to do, but I don't know, sure, you're not going to have the same amount of joy from that. Right.
Right. Yeah. Unless we could. I mean, it would be it's always interesting because we do spend a lot of time of you know, trying to say, hey, here's what you need. This will fix your issue. And obviously people are like, hey, would you install this? Like, no, we can't really do that on the fly at these events. But I don't know. I mean, it's fun talking to people. We ran into Scott Herrick, and I haven't seen Scott for a long, long time. And he was out there shooting tons of photos and videos. And I mean, it's those the folks that are doing it because they enjoy doing it, and that's no different than us. We enjoy doing what we do. So then it kind of there's a fine line though. I understand people. We have a very unique role in that we can share with others our job. Like people that if you work a cash register at Walmart, it's pretty lame to stand there with your phone and take pictures of customers and go, look what I did today. I get that. So we're in a weird role where we get to have experiences with people, and really this weekend really proved that. I wish all events would go back to being more about the conversations and the sharing of knowledge. You know, we've stopped going, hey, how'd you do that? Or why'd you do that? And what is this? We don't ask questions anymore because I'll memorize it. And then later I'll go look it up online so that I don't have to look dumb when I ask a dumb question. And it's fun to actually learn from somebody who's standing right there and they go, well, this is how that works. And you go, wow, I had no idea. And it's different than watching a YouTube video. I'm sorry. I get it. It's really popular, but it's because people don't want to interact with each other and they want to do it from their own privacy, their own little world. And I think that's unfortunate because that's how Jeep Club started, was let's all get together and work on a Jeep. You may not know nothing, but you can stand there and watch somebody do it and talk to them. That's huge.
Right. It's how we learn, right? We as a species have always learned by interacting with other people. It's only in the last, you know, this last millennia that or this last few decades, is suddenly learning became more of a function of interaction with something that isn't another human being, right? Even online education, more so in just the last 24 hours, really, you just had this world change where now it's YouTube videos. You can learn anything. And it's great. You can learn anything online. But now you're not in a position where you want to call somebody and say, hey, I heard you were really good at this, and I'd wonder if you could answer a couple of the questions for me.
Right, right. What's the name of the first aid thing? Do you have a little patch? So one of this kind of plays into that whole circle. How many times we go buy something and it's either on the shelf at Walmart or Target or Home Depot or wherever we're buying something from, or we order it online, right? I mean, I know we're really familiar with MyMedic. MyMedic is a website where you can buy first aid kits, and they do a really good job. I don't know anybody there. I don't know any of those people. It's just some company that makes a product and they ship it out. They don't go to events. They don't talk to people. They just do marketing to get you to buy their things. Mm-hmm. Well, we ran into this company called Sunshine Safety First Aid. They're in Florida. The guy that we talked to, he's the owner. He had another sales guy there.
Somebody, a human owns a company that can talk to you?
It was crazy. And he's showing me first aid kits that they pack with these.
With name brand
with their hands?
Stuff.
With their hands. They actually put stuff in the pouches by hand. And it's stuff that they picked because They're EMTs. They're medics.
They're never going to make it.
it was so refreshing. That, I mean, wait a minute. There's Advil in this pouch. Why not the generic? Well, because that's not what we use. Oh, huh.
Right.
It was really fun. It was really fun to have a conversation with them and go, wow. So they, Sunshine Safety, they do stuff for the boating industry. They do stuff for their, this was their first off-road and Jeep event. And he was like, everybody's so friendly. This is like a big family. And I'm like, ding, ding, ding.
Right. Welcome. Wow. That's cool. Well, yeah. It's also cool, you know, meeting fellow entrepreneurs and people out there trying to do it and make it work, right? But again, it's that idea that you can talk to somebody and learn from them. Yeah, I'm just listening to this whole thing going on in Hamas and Israel, and I'll take a moment to say, you know, our heart goes out to all those families. Yes. You know, terrorism is terrorism, no matter how you define it. And
that's right.
I was listening to the Lex Fridman podcast, which is a very in-depth 3-hour podcast. He tends to do deep discussions with well-known people. And the one he was doing was with Jared Kushner. Now, Jared Kushner was the son-in-law of Donald Trump, who was out doing all the peace deals, right? And everybody said, oh, he's just his son-in-law. What the hell does he know? Well, this is one of the first times he's ever come out publicly, because he just wanted to, he's written a book to try to document what they actually did during that process. And he happened to be on this podcast recording an episode a few days before the attacks. So then the Lex Fridman brought him back in on the Monday following the attacks to do an hour about the attacks, and specifically about that. So the first hour of the Lex Fridman podcast with Jared Kushner, I recommend everybody listen to it if you want a historical context as to what happened over there, right? And I'm not going to get into that now as to what's going on. That's not the purpose. The purpose is that one thing I got from them is here was a guy who went from business suddenly into international politics, international relations, and he knew nothing about it. But he didn't get back and go, I'm going to go on YouTube and learn, or I'm going to go to Washington, D.C. and listen to a bunch of people in Washington, D.C. teach me what I'm supposed to be doing. He went out to talk to the people that he needed to be talking to. He went out and met people and asked them. He asked his customers, for all intent and purposes, what they wanted, what they needed. If I was to go to talk to you, Mr. King of Jordan or whatever, and I'm going to go talk to you, Prime Minister of Israel, what do you want? What do you want? What do you need? What? Tell me about this. What can we do to bring things together? And by doing that, he built the Abraham Accords, which were a phenomenal, I think, 10 different peace agreements for the region. But it's that idea that here's somebody willing to go and ask the question and do the work, right?
Are you sure he didn't text them?
Yeah, you know, it might have been just texting and
hey, maybe, what do you need?
Yeah, maybe it's just on TikTok too. He was probably just on TikTok, really. But that is like the world. I mean, getting there and actually talking to people and listening to them and sitting down with them and asking them questions. How much can you learn from people? Last night, my kiddos, I mentioned this little fundraiser we were doing for John Adams Academy, and I had the kids go around to their neighborhood and ask people for money, right? And the funny thing was, I was a barrier to that. I knew the families that they could go to that they knew really well. So we went to those families. I'm like, okay, good, let's go home. No. We want to keep doing this. My kids wanted to keep doing this. My 7-year-old and 6-year-old wanted. We want to go to the house with the giant pumpkin, because there's a guy they met who was outside saying it's okay to play with, and they have a giant blow up pumpkin, and Guy's got pretty cool. He's got a yellow Ford Fairlane half built in his garage, you know.
Nice.
Start talking to him. It turns out he works near here, knows Metal Cloak. He donated money to them. But they wanted to go do that. They wanted to go talk to more people. And it's interesting how my proclivity was to say, no, we're good. We don't need to do that, right?
Right.
And that is our as youth, that's what we want to do. We want to get out and meet people. And it's so easy for us to go, yeah, I don't really want to pick up the phone. I don't really want
start going the other way. Yeah, we retract a little bit. And I mean, it was, I don't know. I guess my takeaway from the last event, especially, and then even going to Hot Springs and hanging out with our friends from Lunas Off-Road, Christian and his wife and our friends Bryce. And I mean, it's go, I guess my takeaway is go to events. because in Ocala, how many people climbed up in your tent? A lot. And that doesn't happen anywhere. And I'm like, right. Why is it here? Because it was smaller. There's not a thousand people standing there, and people came over and they wanted to touch. They wanted to feel. I had three people under her Jeep looking at the suspension, trying to explain to them why ours was different. And that doesn't happen at a lot of events, because usually we're either way too busy running the CTI trailer, or there's just so many people around, those people then can't ask those questions. Mm-hmm. So heavens, yeah, the rooftop tent from Go Mammoth, I mean, all of that stuff, people wanted to see it. How many times do you just go, yeah, I'm going to spend $3,000 and I don't know, I've never touched one, but it looks cool. Like, I can't imagine doing that. But by going to these events, you can see it, touch it, and feel it. I mean,
It's an interesting game, because it is important. I mean, we have lots of customers who buy. I remember once, and I've told the story before, of a customer lived in the outskirts of Alaska. And this was like, 14 years ago. He bought our complete body armor system, fenders, rockers, having never seen it in his life. And that was, that was a big purchase, $3,000, whatever. And I couldn't do that. Although back then I probably would have said that. These days I buy stuff off of Amazon, just like, oh, 5 stars. It looks cool. I think I'll buy it, and then.
Yeah, we read a review and go, yep, that'll work. Will it? And we get it and we go, man, it looks so much bigger. It's funny. Yeah. That's not what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm. No, I've never done that where I bought something and I went, wait, that's tiny.
Like, yeah. What is this?
That's 3 ounces? Really? That's.
Yeah. That happens a lot. And I, we're in a different society now. That's for sure.
Me and RC cars for the kids. It's like, okay, 124 scale, 120 scale, 116 scale, what 10 scale? We went, like, I thought that was 16. No, no, it's not. That one was 116. This is 124. So it's like, wait,
I'm bringing you a box. When we come out there, we'll be out there in sometime in December. I've got a giant yellow top black Tupperware thing, and it becomes yours and the kids.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Cool. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
He's going to be walking around the office.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Yeah. Jack especially is so into RC cars. Cool. He's got a bunch of them, but they're all like the $5, $15, $25, $30 ones at Target. Mm-hmm. That he and then he runs them last. Until
you can't get parts.
They don't last under his tutelage.
Broke is broke.
Yeah, once they break, they're kind of a done thing.
Yeah, exactly. But that he loves it, and Josh loves it too. But Josh doesn't. Josh actually is interesting, because I think he's getting into he's at that age now where he likes to tear things apart. Like if I gave him, I'm going to give him like a cool complete little like screwdriver set. So you can just go in and just start taking things.
When things start becoming missing.
I bought him a brand new version of this little RC buggy, a brand new one. And so he's got two others that are broken. So I'm like, dude, just start taking those apart. Look at them. Look at the pieces before you start doing this piece.
Yeah, Rob.
Who knows?
It's what we do.
He might combine them into like one giant one and just be like,
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
But sorry, cough button. It's where I don't even know how we got onto that tangent.
It's all good, and learning from others and watching how things are done. I learned more stuff from Mike G from Z Automotive about the Taser stuff, and I mean, what a cool company, what a cool guy. I mean, Rick. So the reason we were also a little late getting to the hotel this afternoon is because, there's pictures of on our social media, but Mike G just sold one of his vehicles to Mr. Ricky, the second one. It's a 22 C8 Vette with a $30,000 supercharger on it.
Oh, wow.
So this morning, Ricky threw me the keys and said, take it for a drive.
So Ricky bought this?
Yes.
Wow. And how was it?
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you what, first thing in the morning, when you're thinking you're going to just spend the day driving up the highway, how about waking up to, 800 horsepower on a 2-lane road in nowhere, Florida. And, it'll wake you right up for sure.
So what was the top speed you hit?
105 in a block.
Before you backed off and said, whoa, too much.
Yeah. Like it is real. Like Yeah, wow. It's kind of crazy. And that's who those guys are, though. That's what Mike G likes. Ricky likes the fast stuff, too. And, you buy a $90,000 car and then put a
So I didn't drive it. I've driven one in Vegas on the track. Totally loved it. It's my second fastest time in one of their cars. And I was like, you should drive it.
Yeah, because I've never.
Please drive it.
I've never driven the C8 before. So yeah, he was trying. I saved basically about 90 grand this morning by leaving there and not having another car with me.
Oy vey. Speaking about money, last time we talked, we had the Rocksport Black, ball joints, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And now I'm showing off this little baby.
Oh, they're done.
So they are. They are done. They're in stock. We're working on all kinds of accessory mounts. But this, ladies and gentlemen, is called the Uniclamp.
People are going to see that picture and they're going to go, what? I do not understand.
Yes. It is. It's going to take a lot of work to market and promote this and show all the possibilities. Because pretty much it's a 2-inch tube clamp. It is square. I'm just going to describe it for everybody. 2-inch tube clamp, square. It has currently 8 bolts going through it. The 4 side bolts that we see here are accessory mounts. The 4 top bolts are for actually mounting it together, can actually clamp it down. The clamping force inside, you can see there. Every point on the back side, you can see where nuts are inserted. So you put your nuts in, just to be able to insert it in. It can be used, these top points can also be used for mounts. Everywhere there's a bolt is where steel plate could be.
Right.
Steel plate could be, and it could be mounted in, held it together, mounted in, held it together. So the point of this is that we have, and currently in the ARS product line, we have these beautiful billet aluminum mounts that we mount from 2-inch tube down. Plus we have the hard mounts, the billet 4-bolt mounts, right, that we use.
Right.
This is capable of doing all of that, but at Universal, so it can mount the cross beams on the 2-inch tube. It can mount your rotopax. It can mount your shovel. It can mount, your DMS shovel. It can mount your max tracks. All based on the simple bracket that you make to adapt to it. So everything we can think of doing, you need more strength, you put 2 of them together. You put 4 of them together, whatever it happens to be. And you can build that. And inside, you can see there's little, if I can show it in the camera here. Might be hard to see. There's little rubber bumpers.
Right.
There's little rubber bumpers inside there. We can kind of see them there at that angle.
Yep, we can see them there.
So those little rubber bumpers, and that's part of the clamping force on that 2-inch tube. Eventually, we'll have other size tubes as well as we expand this. But this is essentially our patent-pending Uniclamp that we can use for everything you can think of. I'm already reaching out to some guys, like for Ultra 4. 2-inch tubes, 1 3/4-inch tube, depending on what they're building. This can mount all kinds of things.
Yeah, you can mount anything to a round tube. Where do you think we'll be at retail on those?
So I think right now we're looking at sub $40 each.
So think about this, guys. All of those brackets that we have all bought for other racks and trying to adapt and that are hundreds of dollars, like literally you can spend $300 trying to mount something that doesn't even cost $300.
I have easily $400 worth of mounts to mount my max tracks. Add up the actual mounting system I put on with the full adjustability and everything for my max tracks, that retails almost $400.
Now
it's like, oh cool, well that's great, it's done, it's there, and I know my max tracks will always be safe, but that's a lot. Now that's I know the price point on this is trying to get down. I think we're trying to get this down to be like $20 a piece. And that's just a matter of hardware sourcing and all that kind of stuff. Because the goal of this was to have this super inexpensive piece that's here. Like, for instance, I think it'll come with these four bolts, but maybe only two bolts here. We don't need all four bolts. You can buy an additional accessory pack if you want more bolts, that sort of thing. Or you can just pick them up because there's nothing special about these bolts and nuts, right? You can pick them up. It just happened to be how we set them up. And you can go, but the whole idea is that you can buy some brackets, buy some pieces. So for $700, you get the same amount of racking that I spent $400 on.
Right.
To hold the max tracks, but also be more universal. This one route can hold the cross members that go across for the tent. That can be mounted in there, right? So the cross members are going across for the tent. It can be mounted. Then it could also mount another bracket underneath that can hold something else. It can mount another. So it becomes universal, which, you know, overlanders love using multiple things for multiple purposes, right?
It reminded me of a conversation I had with a couple that was looking at Jesse's Jeep, and they were kind of like, okay, so the, you know, climb up the ladder to get in the tent and stuff. And we're talking about all these things, his overlanding side. And the wife looks at her husband and she goes, well, I guess, wait a minute, we're going to have a rack first, right? And I was like, yes, let me show you this rack. Yeah.
Well, that's like, wow, that's awesome. I love that UTV. I really want to get a RZR. Oh, wait, we're going to need a trailer first. Oh, wait, we're going to need a truck. Oh, wait, we're going to need a toy hauler. Oh, wait, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, all the first things first kind of thing for sure.
Yeah, so I just wanted to show this off. This is cool. And we'll be,
absolutely.
We'll be going live soon. But part of it going live is also showing you like all the possibilities. So like all of my clamps on my rig are now being replaced with these and the new brackets, stainless steel. All these stainless steel brackets that we're putting on there, probably like 11 gauge stainless steel brackets, except for some stuff that is be heavier, maybe 10 gauge for things like holding your power tank, which is, you know, heavy.
Right.
Do everything from something heavy like a power tank to a full rotopack to a tent to just your shovel and your axe and all these other little things. So all that stuff comes in with a simple uniclamp that sits on a 2-inch tube.
Yeah, that's exciting. I mean, I remember when we were first seeing its initial design stuff, and it's kind of, everybody was kind of going,
yeah,
how's this going to work? Wait a minute, what? But
see, no, that's the brilliance of Doug when he comes in and says, I have this idea. And you kind of, and what he did was actually said, here's my idea. By the way, it's a competition now amongst the engineers to see who could come up with a better idea. And of course, his idea was the better idea, except it was lacking. So one of our engineers, Spencer, took Doug's idea and his own idea, which he thought was better, and he merged them. And he, literally in a matter of like 20 minutes, came back and said, take a look at this. And I was like, that works.
Yeah. That works. Yeah. Well, great minds think alike. I mean, you know, again, it's sharing. It's talking to people and going, hey, what can we do with this? Rather than texting somebody and saying, shooting them a picture of it and going, what can I do with this? That doesn't go anywhere.
Well, yeah, that same lesson learned from my kids where they wanted to go door to door as opposed to me sending messages to all my friends going, hey, I'd appreciate it if you'd support my kids. Here's a Facebook link, right? You know, and because again, I wasn't getting on the phone going door to door. Kids can teach us a lot if we pay attention to them. Yeah.
Well, I forget it. You know, it's weird. That whole social media thing requires you to be social.
Mm.
Huh. Get to interact.
It's anti-social media.
You have to interact with people. It's crazy. Who would have thought?
I just watched that movie, Ron's Gone Wrong, which is a kid's movie about a robot. And it's a future where Facebook exists in your personal robot. Like everything you do and all your interaction exists because of this personal robot. And I think it's a company called Bubble or something like that. And everybody has these little personal robots. And the robot takes your photos and it records your day and it talks to you. It's your best friend and it knows what you like and what you don't like. And you can have it do selfies and you can do live streaming with it, right? Everything you do with Facebook just happens to happen with this robot. And the idea being that the youthful founder's idea was to bring people together so we have more friends, because he didn't have friends when he was kids. Only to realize what he had created was people not being friends because they were just sucked in online to this thing. Like his algorithm wasn't quite right. And I won't give any more of the movie away, but that algorithm was quite right because it didn't create friends. It created something that sucked you away from your friends. And you think about that with Facebook. I mean, the whole purpose of Facebook was increasing communication. And yes, I reach out to touch with friends that maybe I don't get on the phone with, but now I don't feel the urgency to get on the phone and go, hey, you know, right. How you doing?
That's right.
Somebody reminded me the other day, what did they call it? Congratulations and condolences. Congratulations and condolences. Like if you want to interact with people and you want to be friends, remember the congratulations and condolences and just touching base. Like if all you did was three times a year, touch base with somebody and congratulated them on good things that happened, condolences on the things that when they go wrong, and just touch base and say hi. Like we don't do enough of that.
No.
Or at least I know I don't do enough of that.
Well, and it's becoming, I mean, there's things that are changing so fast. I mean, it's restaurants now including gratuity, whether there's two of you, four of you, five, it doesn't matter. They're just going to add the tip to the bill. Along with the, you know, oh, you didn't pay cash, you can use a credit card. Well, there's an additional 2% on top of that too.
God, isn't that insane?
It is. And it's just, there's no, wait a minute. Are you going to talk to me about that? No, it's just how it is. And you're if you don't like it, now. You know,
yeah.
Yeah, well, it's
like when you go into a Subway or a Togo's and they start making a sandwich, you kind of lean over the counter and go, you realize you're making me a $15 sandwich right now. Like,
yes.
That's what it says up there, right? That's going to cost me $15.96 for that sandwich. Do you feel like you're making a $15 sandwich right now? Because yeah. It doesn't look like a $15 sandwich right now. Right.
We went to Popeyes. We went to Popeyes the other day and ordered a couple of chicken sandwiches and drinks. And she says $29. And I gave the receipt to Jesse and I'm like, can you look at that? Cause she must've put another sandwich or something on there. Nope. What?
In a moment of weakness on my way back from hitting golf balls, because I was out hitting golf balls today. We do an annual tournament that Medical Oak sponsors for drug-free education that is in a group called Scared Straight or Steered Straight. Steered Straight is one of these guys spent time in jail, and now he just speaks to thousands and thousands of kids across the country, getting them into the straight and narrow, right? And so it's a great group, and we support it for this will be our second year sponsoring the tournament. So the first time I picked up my golf clubs in a year was today. And I went out there and hit the ball a little bit, right? And on the way home from that, or on the way back to the office, I swung by McDonald's of all places and grabbed a chicken sandwich and fries and a Coke and all the stuff I shouldn't be eating. Yeah, it's like $15. Yeah, it's like holy crap.
You know, and it's funny. So bringing up prices of things, I mean, fuel. Like we were leaving Colorado and it was $4.59 for diesel, which it had gone up quite a bit. I paid $3.49 or $3.59 this afternoon in South Carolina.
Yeah, my mom's in Clearwater, Florida area. She's like, oh, yeah, it was $3.02 for unleaded, you know, last week. I'm like, yeah, it's $6 in California right now.
Yeah, the diversity of, well, you know, it's all about the cost of living because people out there make more.
it's just that like half the money, I think it's 50% of that is all government taxes out here in California.
Mm-hmm. Different road taxes and that's going
to
be.
Got to pay for our $100 billion train to nowhere somehow.
Right. You know, I will say, though, I do feel like after this last couple of weeks, Jesse and I were talking about it a little bit on the drive here. You know, we were the beginning of the year. I felt like we were really pushing down this electrification path. And I don't know what has happened, but in the last month or so, I feel like maybe there's a little bit more pushback and maybe there's a little bit more, hey, we really can't pull this off. Thought process, like not everybody can afford an electric car. Not everybody wants an electric car. And all of these government, this legislation that's coming through about, well, all these manufacturers have to do this. I have a feeling there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff get reversed back out. And
I'm fascinated to see with the Dodge, you know, the future of the Dodge line, right? Because remember, they were supposed to do all their cars were going to be electric by what year? I forget, but all their cars, they were going to be using sound effects.
All the cars,
all the muscle cars will be electric. And you'll use sound effects and things to make you feel like your dad's dad driving in a car. But it's like that's a death knell for a company like that. I'm sorry. I mean, there are people that are going to want that. There's people that are going to buy it. There are people who buy Teslas and they want the Model S Plaid Edition, whatever. Right. But those are the same people that probably wouldn't mind riding in a driverless taxi in San Francisco or Phoenix, Arizona. But
I don't think we're going to get there that quick. There's still something to be said for, you know, I've never been a big, lots of horsepower kind of guy, not wheeling, but driving that CHA.
I was going to say, dude,
yeah, buddy. I mean, you get, and it was nasty. Like it's loud. But you can, again, you can shut the exhaust down a little bit in different modes, but, that much horsepower and to open up the exhaust and stand on it and watch the front end come up. And as you're shifting, you can't pull your head off the seat. There's a feeling there that you can't convey that, you can't share it. You can't, it's a feeling.
She's like, Jesse's feeling giddy. She's like, just, oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. Dude, it was like shutting it down and trying to make the corner as it came up. And I was just laughing. I'm like, holy crap. Like, yeah, I get it. I mean, there's a real draw there. And I think as any kind of an enthusiast feels, it's when we go jeeping and we go up this crazy obstacle and you make it and you go, wow, I just drove that. I mean, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you can't take that away from people though. You can't go, well, no, you can't go there anymore. You can't build your Jeep. You can't make it powerful. I mean, that's just not going to happen. I don't see it. I hope it doesn't happen.
Well, you know, there's been several times in movies and science fiction stories where you have the protagonist who has the car hidden away, right? You know, whether it's a James Bond film where he pulls out the old Aston Martin or iRobot where he pulls out the old motorcycle, right? Like there's always going to be that because we're always going to have our garages. We're always going to have our little muscle car put away. You know, the guy with my neighbor with the Ford Fairlane, right? And poor guy needs a rear axle and he's like, oh yeah, I got to wait to see if I get a bonus this year at work and maybe that'll pay for the rear axle so I can get the car that much closer to being finished. But it's, we can't get away from that stuff, right?
No,
we are horsepower junkies.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Ricky's SRT, his Grand Cherokee, that thing it's nasty too. Like we're going to go to dinner and, if we happen to get in a race on the way there, that's just the way it works out.
And a lot of people wanted to race. That thing's nasty.
It's weird in Florida. Like there's a lot of that. I'm thinking, how that doesn't happen all the time. We're going to dinner and literally the car next to us is doing this whole hunt, hunt, hunt. And then pretty soon it's on and we're, you know, like, wow. We
know. Oh man. I years and years and years ago, I was on my way taking a midnight run from Sacramento to San Diego to visit my mom. And I'm in my old Grand Cherokee. Like this was my 95 Grand Cherokee, right? I'm driving down and some car comes out in front of me. And this is, as you're going through where Disney is in Anaheim area, the freeways widen up, right? You got like six lanes per side, right? I'm just going along in the fast lane and this car gets in front of me and starts doing the slowdown thing. And I'm like, what the F? Get out of my way. So I'm going around him and he has a slowdown thing. And next thing I know, two Corvettes come pulling up, right? And they're slowing down and then they hit it. Boom, go. And like they were racing. They wanted to race. And so this guy's job was to give interference with all the other
Give them some room. Right?
Of course, I being the dick that I am, I was like getting around the guy and going and making sure that the Corvettes had to go around me. You know, they still like, you know, obviously blew my doors off, but it was still fun to capture that. And I think I still had a Blackjack back then. I captured that video on my Blackjack of this Corvette going, I think I got a little bit of it. But yeah, but you know, just these guys out racing. And again, I'm not sure why I was going down that path, but I love the idea of you know, us and our own animal instincts, that we want to do things, we want to race, we want to have power. And yes, there is power in those cars. You get an electric car, the torque on them, that's probably the next generation is going to be all about that. And maybe the right. millennials and the newer generations are all, whereas we're still going to be like, I like sitting in the car, hitting it and feel the rumble. You know, the rumble, hit the V8 and the whole car just kind of shifts over. Right. That's just what I love. Yeah. You know, and it's more so those cars you build yourself. Right. Even then the Corvette probably is awesome, but it's so well balanced that you didn't get the, you know, you didn't get the, just the, it's just like, it's smooth as silk and it just has
power. It's so smooth. It's so, yeah. It's, and you know, it's funny too, because there's always going to be companies like Z Automotive where, you know, they're not tuning. It's more about getting into the features in these computers that we need, in order to put bigger tires on our Jeeps and to get around a sensor or to add things like cameras and things like that. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's funny to me that there's some folks that will sit, and when new stuff comes out, they're the first ones to get computers out of the PCMs out of these new vehicles and crack them, you know, break into them and get into the code and get into the programming of them and figure out how to get around certain things. And so I it's kind of funny, you know, here we have the federal government going, you know, we have EPA standards and you can't do this and you can't do that. And this really doesn't affect like what they do. It doesn't affect any of the emission stuff and that kind of thing. But if they didn't do it, how would we would be very limited, I guess, is my point, into what we can do with our vehicles. It's great that somebody's out there making this happen.
Right. Well, that's the beauty of our system, right? Because the whole point is now, you know, Chrysler, Dodge, these guys, they have to make vehicles that meet their standards and it averages out. We sold 1 million vehicles and that average of vehicles meant it created emissions right. of X, right? They don't care that then you take that other percentage of vehicles, you strip out the governor, you strip out, you know, you strip out all the things, you make the change. And it turns out that if there's no way that vehicle will ever meet emission standards again, they don't care about that. They just want you to have fun with the vehicle. Once they right. sell it, it's no longer part of their equation. Nobody that's in the right. government's going yeah. back going, well, you know, of those 1 million vehicles you sold, 500,000 have been modified and now you're, you know, you're being penalized for the aftermarket. Yeah,
you're out of your box.
And right. They sold their vehicles, they met their standards, and now thankfully, you know, their programmers aren't smart enough to keep them break proof. Or maybe they are, and they decided to always have a little back door in there.
Yeah, we'll have AI will be embedded into these at some point and they'll be man. Some kind of weird.
Well, it'll all be, you know, it'll be Elon Musk with his robot, his cars, and he's trying to make a $25,000 taxi, driverless taxi.
Yeah.
That can get out and about. And like, yeah, we'll all be just like, yeah, you know, we'll have our pad on, our little headsets, walking around with our virtual reality.
Who would have thought 15 years ago we'd be where we are now? I mean, it's the technology has come so far. Putting Hellcats and demons and I mean the 392 Wrangler, and I mean, look what we've done, and it's pretty amazing. And I don't know, here we are going, well, we got to go get little itty bitty electric cars and charge them and drive those around. No, you don't.
No, we don't, because we can just roll over those cars. That's right. You know, it turns out that a Prius is a pretty good ramp.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it is. It's perfect wedge. It's like a perfect wedge. Toyota designed a perfect wedge. It's a great ramp. Wow. Okay. Well, hey, before we go on, so you guys are off to Myrtle Beach, right?
Yeah, so Myrtle Beach, we'll be up there tomorrow, get the trailer situated and figure out where we're supposed to be and all that and set up and whatnot. Curtis is coming up to help us with this weekend's event.
Bobby's flying out, so Bobby.
Is he?
Yes.
I didn't know anything about that.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Not on the board? Ah, well, Bobby's flying out. Apparently, Bobby's coming to join you guys.
Cool.
Sweet. Yeah.
Maybe I knew that. I don't know. I've slept once or twice since then.
It's a big one. But yeah, he's going off because we have Skills Day this weekend.
Right.
And so we have Skills Day going. So we are doing that. It should be good. You know, good group of people, lots of Jeepers out there. Then this will be our fall Skills Day. And interesting year though, because of we were supposed to do it on the 14th. We had to change it to the 21st. Unfortunately, right. we did have some cancellations. So if you're hearing this on Thursday and you want to come out and join us over the weekend, there are some open spots because we had cancellations because it's just a weird thing. The 21st suddenly just there's a lot of other things going on and I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's gonna be a great day. We're looking for good weather and lots of great wheeling out there at Prairie City.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been watching the registrations come through you know, what a huge thing and what a beneficial thing for folks who just want to be able to ask those questions that they're afraid to ask anywhere else and get some hands on in their Jeep going, how does that work? Tell me how that works. Explain that to me. Yeah. That's really cool.
Because it turns out that you go to a dealership and buy a Jeep and the dealership says, here's your keys. See ya. Bye.
Bye. What are these buttons for? That's all right. You'll figure it out.
It's still my dream. Video. I have a dream. I have a dream that someday in the future, you know, the Corey Osborne posse includes a fifth wheel with all this great equipment to go to your own big events across the country to bring people together to do and learn about their Jeeps.
Am I wearing a red hat? Is that a sleigh? What's going on?
No, well, you're not that fat. Yeah, you got the beard, but
this is true.
Not the belly. All right, Modern Jeepers. Hey, it's another great episode. Appreciate you all joining us, and we appreciate your patience as we didn't even. I didn't even have a best of to do last week. I was just like, yeah, you know, this I could have dug deep down, but I was like, yeah, we're just gonna take a break. So, oh, look what we got. Where's that? That's that.
I don't know. Keys.
Yeah. It was like
it's a sliding glass door, but it doesn't open. So it's Charleston. I've never been here. So
wow, awesome. Well, appreciate all of you out there. Modern Jeepers, if you're in the region, come by and say hi to Corey and Jesse at Myrtle Beach. It should be a fun time.
And Bobby and Curtis.
And Bobby and Curtis. Now is this your first time doing this event, or did you do this last year?
Second
time. Okay.
No, third. Didn't we go once before? No, nope. I guess we've skipped it for 2 years. So this is the first time. Yeah. First time we've been back.
Awesome. Well, hope it's a great event. Go out and see them, get your CTI done. Come out here in Northern California, visit us at Prairie City on Saturday from 9 to 3. We'll be out there. And even if you're not coming out to do the, actual training, come on by and say hi. Love to meet you.
Heck yeah.
Say hi. And just tell me you're with the Metal Cloak and you can get into the gate for free.
Cool.
All right. Well, you know how to reach me, Matt@metalcloak.com, Jesse@metalcloak.com, Corey@metalcloak.com. Visit us on our websites. And of course, metalcloak.com, modernjeep.com, blah, 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 blah. That's all I got. Friends, we'll see you on the trails.
Cheers.
See ya.
Video recording is done.
Maybe I remember talking to Bobby about this, but I don't know. I maybe just lost my mind there for a minute or something.
Yeah, he's all prepared. He'll be gone Thursday and Friday. I think he flies out tomorrow.
I think he had sent me an email like, I don't know, months ago or something about it. And then I don't think I'd heard anything. And my bad. Okay. Cool. It'll be good to have the help.
Yeah. Let's see here. Boom, boom, boom. And then when you come out in December, we'll get you hooked up with a display shock because I have a tablecloth for you too. I made a specific Rocksport tablecloth.
Oh, cool.
And so it's a Rocksport black tablecloth, and we'll We'll have another stand made because we have some. We made some stands for Off-Road Expo for the different shocks, for the RockSport, the six pack, and the RockSport Black. But for you, of traveling and stuff, probably just a RockSport Black is all you really need. What's on your Gladiator right now?
Six packs.
It's probably modified for that. So, although you could do, did you chop the rear or they?
Is
the rear
no, they're or they're no? just they're stock.
Okay, well, you could probably still do it.
I'd love to put them on Jesse's Jeep and the Gladiator.
Put them on Jesse's. Yeah. So either way, we'll get a set going. We're full production should be by Black Friday. Things like we're having a little challenge with the adjuster getting too tight. So there had to be a little redesign there for the adjuster to be better, bigger, and easier to grab. And for some reason, to eliminate the fact that it can be really tight.
I think they're going to do really well. We've talked to so many people that are just like chomping at the bit all the time.
Well, you can tell people, and just to get a sense of it, it's about a $650 price point. We've already sold two sets without any sort of marketing. One set was at Off-Road Expo where the guy basically said his buddy came by, took a photo, sent it to his friend, and his friend called and said, I want a set. And they were not on sale at Off-Road Expo at all. It was like, and so Will put together an order for him, first set sold. And then one of our jobbers, OCD, actually, OCD.
Oh.
Ordered a set, he was like, he wanted a set, so he got it set going. And so it's going to be interesting. I think we're getting ramped up to be able to handle the production line.
That's awesome. Aaron had said when he called, because he was like, can you guys get to SEMA, and you're more than welcome to and I'm like, and he called me again whatever it was last week, the beginning of the week, and I said, I don't see how that's even going to be possible at all. Cause we'll still be, after Myrtle, we have Help a Vet Shine, which is like, it ends on Sunday, the week that SEMA starts. I'm like, there's no way we can drive 3 days to get home and then go to SEMA on Thursday. I'm like, I ain't doing that.
That's funny. Cause he's going to be there. He's just going to be lonely, I guess.
He was like, well, Doug's not going and nobody's going. And I'm like, well, and he's like, well, but yeah, so let's plan to come out. And I said, well, yeah, cause we still have some jobbers to hit in Arizona. We have to go through and get Andrew and Wolf and American and all those guys down there. And then after that, we'll come up and do our loop and come hang out with you guys for a little bit. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did you see Casey's video on the Rubicon? No. He released it. It's part one of, I guess, a two-part series, whatever. But he came out, him and Ryan Utah and a few of his other friends came out, and Mike joined them because nobody else here could leave, and did the Rubicon for a couple or 3 days, I guess. It's good.
Cool.
Good group of people. Interesting. It's a good video.
Right on. I'll check it out.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate it. Enjoy yourself. Get some dinner or whatever you do.
We're gonna get some food. Yeah.
And get some and relax. All right.
Bye, buddy. Bye.
This podcast will self-destruct in 5, 4, 3, 2.